Great, thank you. Well, we're going to have a break in our normal series through Matthew. We're having a topical sermon today. So do have a Bible with you, but actually I'm going to primarily be putting verses on the screen for you. We're going to be looking at a number of different passages as we look through a topic together. So as we come to God's word, let's pray. Let's ask for God's help. Let's pray. Father, thank you for all we've been thinking about your plans of restoration for a broken world and for broken and sinful people. Thank you. That is your work and the business you are in. And as we continue to live in that world, but seeing that plan moving forward, we pray you'd help us now as we hear your word, as we think about what it is you are doing, as we think about living with the disappointments and frustrations of the world around us. Please speak to us and guide us in this. Train us and grow us, we pray. Amen. Well, as I say, we are thinking of a topical sermon today, and we're thinking about dealing with disappointment. I've chosen disappointment not because it's the most significant emotion people have been feeling over the last year, because it's not. People have suffered grief and all sorts of pain and suffering during the pandemic. It's not the most significant emotion, but I think it is probably one of the most common emotions. The majority of people haven't felt great loss, but have felt disappointment, along with allied feelings of frustration and annoyance and so on. And so I thought we'd spend some time thinking about disappointment, how to deal with it from a Christian point of view. To get us started on that, to get us going, I'd like some feedback from you. I'd like you to write some things in the chat. So here's my question. What are people disappointed about at the moment? What sort of disappointments are there? Might be small things, tiny things, could be really significant things. So let's get writing. Would you help me in this? Let's share some things. It might be things that you're disappointed about. It might be things you're aware of people around you. Start writing in the chat and I will read some things out to people. What are some of the disappointments? So we've got missing seeing our grandchildren, missed milestones. So some of those significant moments in life, maybe birthdays and others. Family dying, obviously, we've mentioned the church weekend away being cancelled, being sick. Cancelled holidays. That's probably a very, very common one, isn't it? Work drying up. So some people's work's very affected. Not reaching goals in our work, not being able to hug family and friends. Missing teaching face to face. Oh, we've got missing a girlfriend as well. I think that might be from my son. Family gatherings, not in person. Failure of leadership. Social isolation, cancelled weddings, those have happened. Missing sporting events, either, I guess, probably playing in them or going to them. Seeing parents. Weddings and funerals again. Missing independence from parents. I think that might be from my son as well. Playing football, and we could probably add other sports for people. Hey, look, let's pause there. Thank you for those. That's quite a list, isn't it? It's worth just reflecting on some of those, just thinking exactly what disappointment is. Because some of those things are kind of suffering in a experiencing harm. Disappointment usually is when something doesn't match expectations. I saw this this formula online. Disappointment is expectations divided by reality. So if you have big expectations and then the reality is small, the disappointment is all the bigger. But disappointment, then, it's not usually the presence of a bad thing, like suffering, illness, tragedy, and so on. It's usually the loss of a good thing, the loss of something you expected. I mean, they can, of course, go hand in hand. I mean, like, just imagine you're expecting to go on a holiday and you have high expectations for the weather and the fun. And maybe you go on holiday, but the weather's terrible, and so you are a bit disappointed. Maybe the holiday's cancelled, and so you're more disappointed. Maybe the holiday's cancelled because you're ill, and you're even more disappointed. And now there's the presence of some other form of suffering. My point is, disappointment is usually revolving around expectation and hope that is lost in some way. And so it's like a form of suffering. There are lots of other forms of suffering, of the presence of bad things. Disappointment is usually the loss of a good thing. And so it is a form of suffering, but not usually in the way we think. It's this loss of what we would expect, often rightly expect, as part of life. And there has been a lot of that sort of loss. There's a lot of that on that list, along with some actual kind of more obvious suffering. You know, there can be the loss of very specific things, a wedding. I know some people had a specific big family holiday planned, you know, maybe years in the making, and it's gone. Or it can be loss of what you might just think of as normal elements of life. You know, what your time at college or school or university might have looked like. The normal things you'd have done with your friends, the sport you'd have played, the events you'd have gone to. COVID has caused all manner of disappointment in that sort of loss. And that can then have a kind of knock-on effect. Disappointment, I think, is often the first of a chain of feelings. It can lead into different directions. Sadness over loss, frustration or anger at the circumstances and events, apathy, it's just not worth doing anything or planning anything. How should we think, then, about disappointment and deal with disappointment as Christians? That's our question this morning. Let me just say, if you're not a Christian, if you're looking into the Christian faith, if you're thinking about these things, a window into the kind of the Christian way of viewing the world and the difference that that makes in facing these sorts of disappointments. I've got a number of points. I'm going to try and fill our time with thought, and we can hopefully expand on some of that in our small groups later on. My first point is to know God's comfort, because disappointment is right. We live in what we would often call a fallen or a broken world, a sinful world. We've commented on this already, a world twisted by our rebellion against God. Here's one comment on the nature of the world that we then live in. Our creation was subjected to frustration, and it is in bondage to decay. In other words, the world doesn't work properly. God, in the light of our rebellion, has put it in this subjected state. It's frustrated. It doesn't work properly. It is in slavery to a kind of decay. Back in Genesis 3, we see this very clearly. After the first rebellion, God comments on working in the garden, growing things, and says that growing food won't just involve flowers and fruit, it will involve thorns and thistles. So now you go and you sow seed and you till the soil and so on and you water it, and you'll get some produce, but you will also be disappointed because you'll get what you didn't expect. Reality won't match expectation all the time. Well, we saw this quite a lot, didn't we, in our Ecclesiastes series. It was one of the helpful things about that book, the realism of life. We read in chapter 9 that people make their plans, but time and events happen to us all so that those plans don't come to fruition. What we expect to happen fails. Things go wrong in this world. And so disappointment is right. You know, it's an emotion we should expect to feel in a world like this. We shouldn't be surprised by it. You know, to put it differently, we're allowed to be disappointed. Things are disappointing. We're not called to pretend otherwise. You know, it should be quite a common thing in our home groups, for example, to share things that are happening in life and things that didn't happen in life and say, I'm sorry to hear that. That must be so disappointing. But God knows it's disappointing. He knows there's that form of suffering in the world, and he wants to comfort us in that. Know God's comfort, because disappointment is right and real. There's a lovely description of God in this way in 2 Corinthians, where Paul talks of God as the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. He's the Father of compassion. That is, he's a Father who sees us in whether suffering or disappointment, and he feels for us in it. He has compassion, pity, sympathy. And he then comforts, he draws alongside, he puts his arm around us, as it were. He does this in a whole number of ways. Actually, often he does it through other people. Later in this letter, Paul is talking about a time that he was downcast himself, and he says God comforted him. How? By the coming of Titus. Titus turned up, and that was a great comfort to Paul. And Paul saw in that moment God comforting him. And so we too can know God's comfort in the phone call, the text, the prayer for us in home group. Know God's comfort in disappointments, because it is a disappointing world and God knows it. Secondly, hear God's call, because disappointment is refining. Here's another verse from the book of Romans. We also glory in our sufferings, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Paul says we can glory in our sufferings, or it has the idea of boasting them, or almost in rejoicing in them. And he doesn't mean sufferings here are a good thing. They're not. He does mean they can have a good effect, because suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and so on. Suffering and loss can be what push us on in growth as God's people. And there are other verses like this. Grace ladies are studying James at the moment. James begins with rejoicing in trials, because trials produce perseverance and maturity. Very similar idea. I think there are a couple of ways that disappointment refines us in this way. First of all, disappointment is revealing to us. It shows what we value, what's important to us. How disappointed you are about something shows its significance to you. And that can be a good and right thing, but it can also be quite a revealing thing. It reveals our hearts, you know. So my disappointment over my holiday can show that actually I really value my comfort and my pleasure more than I really should. And I wouldn't have known that until I was disappointed. And then secondly, disappointment pushes us to turn to God in it, to rely on him and trust him with it, to lean on him. There's kind of a kind of parallel with exercise. You know, if you try some exercise, if you go for a run, if you lift some weights, well, it can do two things. First of all, it can reveal how fit or strong you are or aren't. And actually, you wouldn't have known otherwise just sitting on the couch. But then it is also getting you to exercise your muscles, to use them in a new way, and you become fitter or stronger in that very exercise. And so sufferings and trials, including disappointments, show ourselves more clearly and get us to exercise our faith, to grow in perseverance, to press on despite that thing, to keep trusting in God within that disappointment. And that is the route to growing in character and maturity. So we are to know God's comfort and speak of right disappointments and comfort each other in them. And we are to hear God's call to grow within them. I remember a friend of mine at a previous church received a health diagnosis, of a long-term diagnosis. It was a health issue that wasn't harmful or painful or particularly suffering at the time, but it had long-term implications. And it was saddening and very disappointing in changing what he'd have expected from life. He spoke to an older couple who he respected, and they did two things. They comforted him. They sympathized. They expressed their disappointment with him. That was right to do. It was disappointing. And one of them also very gently said, "Don't miss God's lessons for you in this. Hear his call. See what he will teach you and train in you as a result." Know God's comfort. Disappointment is right. Hear his call, because it is refining. Those are two kind of big perspectives to have on disappointment. And then I've got three kind of attitudes to cultivate kind of within disappointment, kind of like how I want to respond in it, that are going to help us in that whole process. So three of them quickly. Humility. Peter, we've already mentioned this morning, Peter is writing to people who are suffering. He speaks to them of that living hope at the beginning, as we began our service with. Later on, he says this: "Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time." Writing to people who are suffering to say, "Humble yourself." See, we believe in God's sovereignty. That is his control, his providence, his ruling of events. That means God is sovereign over our disappointments. And that immediately raises all manner of questions, how God relates to evil, to suffering in the world and so on, how he stands behind it. There are complexities there and questions there. We did a seminar back last summer on God and suffering. If you'd like to go and look at that on our website or on our YouTube channel, then we get into those questions in more detail. Our point for now is simply the attitude called for. We humble ourselves under him. We bow to his providence. Oh, we don't. I mean, the opposite would be to rise up against him, kind of pointing the finger. It shouldn't be like this. You shouldn't do this. Or shake a fist at him, you know, saying it's not fair. Oh, we may well say we don't understand. We will certainly express our sorrow and disappointment to him. But we humbly bow to what's happening rather than railing against him. I do wonder, I don't know, but I do wonder if one thing God may be doing through this pandemic generally is humbling a proud world. Even in the most sophisticated Western nations, showing people how limited, how dependent we are, how we are not in control in the ways we'd like to think we are. Well, as God's people, we should know that already, and we should bow to him in humility. When faced with disappointment, we don't pretend it's fine and grin and put a happy face on it, but we do accept it from God's hand. Humility. Secondly, thankfulness. Paul says in some of his closing comments to the Thessalonians, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. This is what God wants to see in your life. This is his will for your life. Now, notice a key thing about this verse. It does not say, give thanks for all circumstances. It says, give thanks in all circumstances. And the difference is significant because we don't give thanks for bad things. We give thanks despite bad things. But even that's radical enough, isn't it? Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, we should recognize here that I think when we look at the whole Bible, we expect Christians to have kind of mixed emotions. We can and we should cry over sad things and disappointing things. And we can and we should give thanks at the same time. We give thanks in all circumstances because God is still good, doing us good, working for our good, achieving his plans by his grace. And thankfulness then is such a key Christian attitude. When we studied Colossians last year, we saw this in several places. In chapter 2, he said we're rooted in Christ and we're growing in him and we are overflowing with thankfulness. Thankfulness is always right because God is never disappointing. His salvation is always true. His forgiveness and grace is always available. He'll never let us down or not meet expectations. So we give thanks in all circumstances. And thankfulness is then a great guard against other attitudes. You know, we said earlier, disappointment could be the first step in a kind of chain leading to other feelings, frustration, bitterness, cynicism. Thankfulness has a kind of reverse effect. If you're thankful, it results in other attitudes. It makes it very hard to go down that earlier path. If you're thankful, it's very hard to be bitter at the same time. If you're thankful, it's very hard to be jealous of somebody else. If you're thankful, it's very hard to grumble. Sinful and negative attitudes do not grow well in the soil of thankfulness. But other attitudes of contentment and joy do. So as we face disappointment, we're not told to say, be thankful for this, but we are told to say, I want to be thankful in this. Lastly, hope. This verse from Romans 5 carries on from one we saw earlier. We saw the one about suffering producing perseverance and character, and character hope. And it goes on to say, and hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Hope doesn't disappoint us, or some translations say, does not put us to shame. In other words, it's not like it'll embarrass us. If you trust in this hope, you won't end up shamefaced. It will never let you down. That's the sense of it. And it won't disappoint us in that way, because God's love has been poured into our hearts by the Spirit. We know God's love for us in Christ. He goes on to say this love has been demonstrated in the cross for us. And so we know God's love for us. We know he's committed himself to us. He will follow through with all of his promises to us. And so we live looking forward in hope. We've thought about this in the theme of our service. God has promised to renew, to restore, to recreate this world, to end all disappointments and sadnesses, to wipe away every tear. And so our current disappointments in life can and should push us to look at that future hope that will never disappoint. Karis saw an article in a magazine the other week. Someone was writing to a friend, talking of speaking to a friend and writing a note to a friend who was so disappointed and frustrated within the latest lockdown. And they told them to look forward to what's coming. They spoke of what would happen next summer and what we'd be doing. Here's some of what they said. They said, there's a beer garden waiting for us. There's gin served in goldfish bowl glasses, if you want that much gin. Bottles of rosé ice cold in a bucket. We'll be there in August, I promise. With bags of crisps splayed open on the table, they'll be laughing and making a racket without guilt or tears or repercussions. Now, they said they were encouraging their friend, and they said actually they were speaking to themselves and trying to encourage themselves, saying, that is what is waiting for us. That's what lies ahead of us. Well, there are a couple of ways we should think about that, I think. And first of all, there is a parallel for the Christian in the new creation. Isaiah speaks of the new creation as a feast we will look forward to. There'll be the finest of wines and the best of meats. There'll be a beer garden for us there. There'll be a feast for us there. There'll be hugs. There'll be laughing. There'll be joy. But also this person says, we'll be there in August, I promise. Well, maybe we will be. I certainly hope we will. But we don't know. They can't actually promise anything. And even if that happens, There will still be disappointments in life. They will only change in nature. But we look beyond August. We look beyond any hope we have here and now to a better and more certain hope where disappointments will actually end, because this hope will never disappoint us. So I want to say, let's look to cultivate these attitudes: humility, thankfulness, and hope. And they won't just happen. As you feel disappointment, we could easily be tempted to sit with it, maybe leading to self-pity, anger, grumpiness, and so on. And that's understandable. But God would call us to bow to him in this, to humble ourselves, to be thankful within it, to look forward in hope within it. As you feel those pangs of disappointment, acknowledge them, they're right. But look to see how they might refine us. And look to see how we can respond with these. May these be true of us as a church. May we be different to how our neighbours and friends respond to disappointment in these ways, because we know all that we have in Christ. Let's pause there. Let's have a moment quiet, just a moment to reflect. How would you want to respond to disappointment differently? And then I'll lead us in prayer. Let's have a moment's quiet. Father, thank you for all of your comfort for us within disappointments. And we thank you for the way we've known that as a church. And we've known that in individual lives. Thank you for the ways you've used us and different people in bringing that comfort. Thank you too for your call, that you have plans and purposes for us and for this world. You are restoring it and us. And you will use disappointments within that. Help us both know that comfort, but also hear that call and respond as you would call us to. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.